Welcome to This Is Our Earth podcast. I am Sylvia Puentes, and I invite you to these amazing conversations that explore the wonder and magic of connecting with our beautiful planet. Inspired by El Lugar, the Place, originally a book by Gary Douglas, and now being actualized on our Earth as we speak. What can we each be that would create a sustainable living Earth? Welcome, everyone, to another episode of This Is Our Earth, and I am your host, Sylvia Puentes, and once again with some incredible guests. This is actually a couple that I'm going to introduce you to, and this amazing couple lives in Australia, and they have actually been choosing something different together and out, not only in Australia, but around the world. I love this conversation, and I've actually spoken to them both on a different podcast, maybe last year. And so I'd love to hear from both Tanya and Tim Botham this evening, and I look forward to you all enjoying this conversation as well. Tanya, Tim, welcome.
Thanks, Sylvia.
Thanks, Sylvia. Great to be here.
Yes, and I'm so delighted you guys came on together, because I actually considered, do I do it separate, together? But you guys are both on a journey, I would say, to, I don't know what it is, to wake up people, but to invite us to actually acknowledge what we contribute to the planet by what we choose, if I could say it in so many words. But why don't you tell us, what is it that you're doing out in Australia and around the world?
Well, Sylvia, one of the things that we were always really in tune with the earth, and we always had that sense of nurturing the earth, but what access gave us the ability to do is realize that we could use energy to enhance the earth to a greater degree than physically actually doing stuff. And so basically that's what we do. We use energy to enhance what we're trying to do on our farm and basically create more ease with the way that we farm the land and deal with our animals and nature.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you say, Tim?
I would say that too, yeah.
Yeah.
And I love that, because a lot of the topics that we've had on this podcast, This Is Our Earth, it are these conversations that are no longer weird. I've been using the weird part, right? And I so appreciate it. Simone Melissa was on. She's all like, what if it's not weird anymore? So I would love to hear a little more when you're saying that you're using energy. What are you referring to? What are you guys actually doing? What are some examples?
Well, everything we do, Sylvia, on the farm is by question. And for us, basically when we got into access, was so difficult for me, because we did things intuitively, but I was also brought up on a mechanical farming system where at a certain time of the year, you plowed the fields. At a certain time of the day, you watered the plants or watered your cows. And once we got into access, we realized that maybe that's not how it should be done. We should ask a question, whether this is the best time to water or whether this is the best time to plant. And it was amazing what showed up for us. Like, we even changed the things that we grew because we asked the question, should we be growing this crop now, or should we be planting at this time of the year? And we got all these different awarenesses. And for me, to a degree, it was so difficult to take that path at times, because it had been so ingrained to me that you grew beans in March through to September, and there was no reason why you couldn't grow them in summer. But because I've been brought up that way and programmed that way, it was sort of getting around my head and following the energy of what was going to have a greater outcome. And
yeah, and it's probably helped too, because I love all this weird energy stuff, and I probably functioned a lot from energy forever, like, but not realizing it until I came to access. I was like, oh, that's just following the energy, like whatever felt like right to me or light to me was what I did, so I followed it. So Tim's had me, and we, you know, we're probably a good combination, and we work well together. So,
and for those listening, and you know, there's the mention of access, and that's access consciousness, and you can find it at accessconsciousness.com and more information about that. But it is an incredible body of work that invites you to acknowledge that you're an energetic being, and you're energetically aware of so much, and the gift of asking a question. So Tim, for you mentioned about the challenge at the beginning for you to get out of your head and about what had already been, I don't know, documented and stated, what is the correct time to do all sorts of things out in the farm. What would you say was your big, I don't know if it's an aha that you could begin to trust that energy or your awareness as you were asking questions?
Well, just take for example with cattle. The cattle are very in tune with the universe, and they're very in tune with the moon. And at a certain time of the day, when the moon rises, the cattle actually sit down and chew their cud. And I sort of became aware of this, but wasn't fully aware of it. But basically, what happens if you try and disturb them when they're sitting down chewing their cud, when the moon rises during the day, causes chaos. They just get upset and angry and cranky. It'd be like someone, if you were sitting down having a plate of food, Sylvia, and someone pulled the food away from you. It's a similar thing. And what gave me the awareness that this energy stuff really does work was we decided to not disturb the cattle when they were chewing their cud, and only get them in to the cattle yards to do whatever we had to do with them after they'd finished chewing their cud. And it made such a difference. It was just unbelievable. And it was probably one of the things that converted me to following the energy
I love that.
and following nature's cycles.
And actually, I mean, I could, as you're speaking, I could almost see the image, but the willingness to see and listen to nature and the animals in such a different way.
Yeah. So
Beautiful.
if people don't know what cows chewing their cud is, it's basically cows have four stomachs, and they regurgitate a part of the grass and sit there and chew it in the paddock in their mouth. But what they like to do is they like to sit and relax and do that in peace. And they do it in tune with the moon. So that just gives people a bit of insight if no one knew what I was talking about.
Wow, I'm gonna have to go sit next to cows and actually be more aware of that. That's actually quite fascinating. And for those of those, if you're noticing any sound in the background, I'm so grateful Tim and Tanya took time out of their day. But they are, on the farm, off to the side, taking the time to speak with us today. So thank you. Anything else you would add there, Tanya?
I think probably for me, it's.
You tell a story about your vaccine and how.
Well, I mean, just being in tune, like what Tim was talking about, being in tune with like the natural cycles. I mean, that's probably for me, like they used to say, like they used to say that the energy, like to get you like your legs waxed and things like that. I know this sounds weird, but if you get your legs waxed in the morning, it's easier on your body because your body will release the hairs easier than if you get them done in the afternoon. And I like thought that was, I was like, oh, okay, I'll have a go. And I kept doing it in the morning. And it was like, yes, that's good. But then I did it in the afternoon after a little while. And oh, it hurt so much more to get my legs waxed in the afternoon. But it also, my body also reacted more to it. So I had like red lumps on my legs and that for a really long time. Whereas when I got it done in the morning, you didn't even know by the afternoon. So just little things like that.
But you've missed the most important part.
What?
Well, what happens, Sylvia, in the morning, the earth has
I was going to go into that, but you can say it.
the earth has an outward energy. So what happens is the universe pulls the energy out of the earth, and it basically pulls all the energy up into the leaves of the plants and up into the grasses and
To the fruits and the
and the
flowers.
fruits. And that's why it's the best time of the day to pick fruit, because all that energy is drawn out of the earth and pulled up into the fruit and the leaves and the flowers and all that sort of thing. So what Tanya's saying is
Is all
when.
the energies in your hair at that time, so it's really easy to pull the hair out with when you're getting your hair waxed, I suppose.
And in the afternoon, so the cycle reverses and all that energy is then streamed back down into the earth from the
It's like
universe.
a drawing effect into the earth, into the actual middle of the earth, sort of
Yeah.
thing, yeah.
And you can use that cycle in so many ways. Like you pick your fruit in the morning, and you've got underground crops like carrots, sweet potatoes, and things like that. You pick them in the afternoon with that energy that's being pushed back into the earth. So all those fruits and vegetables are densely packed with nutrition. But Tanya's just using it in a physical way.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm taking note of what Tanya said. The practical stuff.
And like you're dyeing your hair, or if you color your hair, like it's better to, your body will take it up, like the hairs will take it more into the hair when it's done in the morning, because it's in the actually the hair, whereas when if it's the afternoon, it would be drawing it more into the roots. So you want it to actually stay in the hair. So I mean, there's lots of little things like that. So
it's just practical ways how you can use the
energies
of the earth,
yeah,
and how we've turned those ways that we see the earth function into practical ways how we can use it ourselves in our daily lives. Like it's the same with vitamins, and that if you want to take vitamins, you're far better to take them in the morning than in the afternoon.
Wow.
If you take them opposite.
In the afternoon.
In the afternoon. Because if you take them in the morning, you'll basically just urinate most of those vitamins out. But if you take them in the afternoon, your body will more so store them and use them. Mm-hmm. So there's hundreds of little stories, Sylvia, that we could tell you like that, where we've seen how the earth functions. Gone, wow, why isn't this knowledge mainstream? And it's just, to me, it's common sense.
And I guess it becomes common sense if you're actually listening to the earth, or listening to the rhythms of the earth, and not going against it, rather working with it. Wow.
It makes your life easier. And we, you know, it makes things easier. Like, why would you be pulling weeds in the afternoon when it's like the energy is getting drawn down? Like you'd pull a weed to make your life easier, so you do it in the morning. So just little things like that, you know, it's all about making your life easier and creating with the earth.
I love that. And you know, you guys have this farm in Australia. There's other things that you've contributed also. I know of some amazing stories with Access Consciousness and the founder, Gary Douglas. You've been out in fields where you've contributed energies and changed really the future of that land. And that's the part, that magical part of working with the earth, contributing to the earth. Is there anything you'd like to add in that area of what you've seen with acknowledging that we on the planet can actually contribute to the earth?
Well, we've all got to remember, Sylvia, the earth is a living, breathing organism just like us. And just like our bodies, if you project certain things at it, it takes on points of view and locks things in. And we found with our place, the same sort of thing happens. Like if we have a point of view about a certain paddock, it's amazing how that paddock reacts to our point of view. As soon as we change that point of view and basically take the shackles off, it's amazing what shows up. And like, for example, on certain paddocks, we've had points of view about certain types of weeds and how those weeds were taking that paddock over. And as soon as we change that point of view, it's like the weeds just magically disappear. And it's just astounding to me what the earth can actually show you if you get out of your head and let it be.
So what are some points of views or that people have about the planet that is perhaps, well, from what you're saying, really keeping it in that state and not allowing for something different to show up, would you say?
Well, I think the first thing is just what Tim said, like it is the planet is a living, breathing organism. And if we look at the way that we're treating the planet, and if we looked at it as a living, breathing organism, would we be doing what we're doing? Would we be stripping everything that we think is valuable off the planet just for money? It'd be like taking organs out of somebody and expecting it to function, you know, correctly. And I think that's probably, if we looked at it more as that living, breathing organism, we definitely would look at it a different way.
Yeah, it's like David Attenborough said recently, Sylvia, it's we're at war with the planet. And we don't need to be. Like if we just worked with the planet and realize that the earth has got all these cycles and methods and
functions
of how it works, and it's got this beautiful system of how it self-fertilizes itself and we interfere with that. And it's like David Attenborough said, we're at war with it. Like everything we're doing is against the cycles of the earth in regard to how we fertilize crops, how we plow the soil all the time. And none of it's necessary. If we were just being willing to sit and be aware and work with it.
So for someone who's listening, I mean, you guys, I don't even know how much land you have that you farm, but, you know, we might have someone that's listening that may know a big farmers, and even the people that may have small, you know, gardens in their yard or even plants in their house. Like, where would you invite people to begin to have this awareness of the cycles of the earth or how to engage different with crops or...
Well, so people, that's the thing. People in a unit can do it. People in a just a house in suburbia can do it just by having house plants, because those plants will function exactly the same way. Like, for instance, with the outward energy in the morning and the inward energy in the afternoon, if you get one of your house plants and water it in regard to those cycles, you'll find it'll function so much better. So that would mean you would water it in the afternoon with the inward cycle, and you would fertilize it with the inward cycle as well, and it would function so much better. Mm-hmm. And that way the plant would then want to contribute to you more because you're contributing to it.
And I would also say that outward energy that's happening in the morning, like that's when you would be, like if you're touching the plant, like that, because that energy is in the leaves, if you're touching the plant and things like that, that's going to contribute to it too, because that energy is in that part of the leaf. So it's going to contribute to its growth. It's going to contribute to the way that its leaves look and things like that when you're touching it as well. So it's like
stimulates
it. And that those energy, like it's not like those energy, both those energies do something that, and you can probably physically see it if you put a camera on your plant. Like that plant would move and create, and you can see that if you put a camera on it. But like just because we're not there, it doesn't mean it's not contributing to your house or things as well. Like,
yeah, it's taking more carbon dioxide out, because if you stimulate the plant, naturally it's going to function better. So it's going to take more carbon dioxide out of your house and produce more oxygen. So how's it getting better than that?
Definitely. And you're right. I don't know that I've ever heard anything like what you guys are talking about. I love plants. I enjoy them very much. I appreciate them. But I never considered the cycle of it would gift them more if I water them in the evening, you know, because that's going down. And in the morning, is that what you were saying then, to engage with them in the morning?
Yeah. Their leaves? Yeah.
Because I like to dust my leaves as well.
Yeah.
So that could be a morning thing. And usually it's kind of like I wake up and it was part of what I was watering. But wow, I wonder what would be different for, especially those plants that start to look sad, you know, if we start paying attention to the cycle.
They're just like our bodies. They love to be stimulated. And people are kidding themselves if they don't think trees and grasses are any different. They're a sensory being just like us, and they respond to touch just like we do. So
yeah, and those those energies like that we're talking about are always there, and they're the planet functions with those energies all the time. It never like goes, oh that's right, it's the afternoon energy, I want to do this. It's just like a natural thing for them, and it's always there and it's always contributing. And that's what we have to remember too, like those energies are always there and so willing to contribute to us if we would just allow it.
Beautiful. And, you know, this part that you're talking also about, where you're talking, Tim, about beginning to ask questions about whether to plant or not, or what are some of the other things that you've begun to ask questions with, you know, out in the farm or maybe even your own lives. But can you guys talk more about that power of question and trusting what you become aware of?
Well, sometimes it can be difficult, Sylvia, because it's like, it's not difficult. It's just a matter of...
It's overcoming that brain, your thinking and what you've been taught or what you've always, like those points of view that you've bought.
It's like, Sylvia, we'll go to a nursery. A nursery is like a, do you guys know what nurseries are? Like where you buy fruit trees and plants?
Yes.
We'll see a plant and it might look not in good condition. It might look sick but we'll ask a question, should we buy that? And to any other logical person, they wouldn't touch that plant, but we ask a question and get a yes and we get it home. And it's like it instantly changes, doesn't it, Tim?
Mm.
And what we'll do then is we'll ask that tree where it wants to be planted. And it's amazing to me when you get that awareness right and you get that tree in the right spot, facing the right way, it just takes off and it just blows your mind. And the reason we know that is because so many times we haven't followed our awareness and we've bought things that we got a no for and we planted them where we got a no for, but we let our brain override it. And it was just...
Yes, because I want to plant that there. I want to make sure, I want to have that tree there, but that tree necessarily does not want to be there.
And we'll ignore our awareness and we'll plant it there anyway. And then the plant will just sit there.
And it won't do anything. It won't grow very well. And
it's like it's giving you the bird. You didn't listen to me, so I'm not going to do what you want. And it's just astounding how many times that happened to us before. You get sick of wasting money buying fruit trees or other trees, or the same thing for animals. We find exactly the same with the horses and the cows and the pigs and the chooks. We'll buy things that we shouldn't, we get a no for, but we let our head get in the way. Oh, but that looks good, that animal. We want to buy that animal. And I suppose you could use that same example, Sylvia, with choosing a partner. Like how many times do people choose a partner and don't follow the energy? And to me, buy a farm and go and buy some animals. And if you don't follow that awareness, it can cause a lot of pain in your life.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I love that. And I can see where, you know, for those listeners that may doubt or not be, you know, have that sense of following that whisper of awareness here and, you know, yes or no, you know, begin with maybe a plant in the house, right? Like that sense of like, okay, where do you want to be? And then just allow it to be. And if you get it to change, just notice where that pull went. Because I know when I started maybe 11 years ago asking questions and following my knowing, I had no idea I knew. I had no idea that I had those whispers of a yes or a no. And the more you practice, the more there is that sense, like it's a lot more clear and loud, definitely now. And there still might be times, like you said, you don't listen because your head overrides. I want it now. I want it here. So I invite the listeners to just maybe play with the plant in your house if you haven't really built that, I'd say muscle perhaps, or acknowledging that maybe you, like you said, Tanya, you've always had that awareness. It's just, it hasn't been fostered or grown. So
yeah.
Well, we're not taught that.
Yeah, well, we all know, like, I mean, most people know when somebody is angry. Most people know it. Like, I mean, you know, when you walk into a room and someone's had a fight in that room, like you're aware of that energy. Like most people know when someone needs a hug. It's no different to that, to a plant. It's just that people's brain don't think about that.
Well, they haven't,
they're not attuned to it. But like that, like, I mean, and what you were saying, like start with the plant, but you know, that plant is like us too. It might like that corner of the room that you put it in, but, you know, it also might like another corner of the room. So you constantly are asking questions whether, you know, we have ones at home that we've got plants and like all of a sudden we'll go, oh, that just doesn't feel right to have that plant there. So then we'll go, what about over here? And then as soon as you put it over there, it sort of like almost goes boom. And it's like, thank you. I really wanted to be out of that spot. And they just grow so quick. And it's like, it looks like a different plant. Just always constantly looking at where things would like to be. And yeah, practicing those sorts of things. Like don't think you can't, because everyone knows, like everyone has that awareness of energy. It's just practicing.
And don't make yourself wrong either, Sylvia. Like, we've made hundreds and hundreds of mistakes on the farm that have cost us a lot of money. But, like, it's just Don't stop. Keep going. And until it becomes just second nature. And it will. Like, it doesn't take that long and you'll just know. Like, when we buy a plant now and we dig a hole in the ground, we ask the plant which way it wants to face. And like now, I used to spend age, I just sit there and rotate it 5 degrees, rotate another 5 degrees, another five, until I'd get it right. But now, because I've done it so much, I just know straight away which way that plant wants to face. And I just quickly say yes, no, and bang, it's in the ground and gone. And it's just amazing how quick you...
Once you start practicing and being aware of that, it's just become second nature to you.
Yeah.
And as you're saying that, there, it's like such a kindness. There's an energy of kindness to listen. I mean, you imagine, you know, you're even a child or an adult, but someone's actually asking you, truly, truly desiring to know what you would like and what's going to work for you. I mean, that's beautiful. Like, not disregarding it because it's a plant and, you know, whatever relationship we sometimes have with things that aren't beings. But it's like, wow, there's a gentleness and a kindness. And I wonder where that even goes further beyond what we understand of what that creates in a way that infuses the ground, the soil, the molecules in the air, and it goes all the way around. So it's not just in your yard, on your farm, or in your house. Is there something else you can add to that, what you know?
Well, Sylvia, I don't know. Well, years and years ago, I read this book about the old Russian farmers, and they had this beautiful connection with all their plants and fruit trees. And they all always had the belief that they were so connected to their fruit trees that if someone came and tried to steal their fruit, that the fruit trees had the ability to create a poison in the fruit to make those people sick so they wouldn't come back. And like when I read that story, it felt light to me. And my knowledge of how our property functions, that wouldn't surprise me if that's possible. And it's the connection that you can have with the planet.
Yeah. And I think too, like what you said, Sylvia, like when you acknowledge that plant or animal or even a person, the energy that's created from that is... It's not palpable, but it will affect, it like affects the earth that it's in. It does affect the other trees, like, you know, the way that trees talk to each other, like as if it's happy. And like, imagine a grove of trees that have been planted where they want to be planted and contributing to each other, and the energy that would create, like that energy would be not only for that property, but, you know, that energy morphs out into the whole property. It morphs out, we don't know how far, it would morph into the atmosphere. And what that, imagine if that whole planet was like that. I mean, I'm just giving myself goosebumps just talking about it, because that is what the earth functions from all the time. And if we allowed that and contributed to it, like the energy that we are too contributing to it, it would only increase it like a thousandfold, even more.
And I think, Sylvia, like we sometimes, people say to me, what are we here for, Tim? And I really think we're here to be the conductors of this planet and to help stimulate the planet to be a greater being. And it's like, as we've basically taken over pieces of land, our job on that piece of land, what I see, is to manage that piece of land to make it be a greater space. And to me, if we can all be the conductors of the land, whether it be your little personal house with your indoor plants, or whether it be a farm or just a suburban block, if you can be the conductor of it and try to create a symphony with that piece of land that you've got, it's amazing what that can contribute to the planet. And we say that from what we've seen happen in the valley that we're in. Like 10 years ago when we first, oh no, 15 years ago, when we first sort of started our journey with a lot of this stuff, Tanya was classed as a witch. And I was classed,
weirdo.
I was classed as a weirdo and a lantana farmer. A lantana is a noxious weed in Australia, but I didn't cut it down because I didn't believe in that. And I was classed as a lantana farmer, but we stuck at what we set out to do. And now basically most of the farmers in our valley are copying off what we're doing.
Wow. So talk about being the catalyst and the leaders and never giving up what it is that you know, no matter if it's the most bizarre, outrageous thing that people have seen. So thank you both for choosing that and for being that. And this last part of the conversation has me almost in tears. You know, there is something that I know that we can be that generates an energy that creates so much more for all of us, really. So when, you know, the title of this podcast, This Is Our Earth, it's like those choices we make, the things we acknowledge that do, you know, stream out in however form out around the world, which is an also another reason that I'm contributing to the El Lugar project out in Costa Rica, both of you know of, and I think you both have been on that land. Is there a story or something you want to say about your experience about being on that property and what's being created?
Well, we went there and we went horse riding on there. And I can just remember going to, I think it's the back part of the property. We went to the river and I can remember just riding the horse. And I mean, I love riding horses and that's another energy that contributes to lots of things. So I remember riding the horse and we hit this area and like, I could feel the change in the energy. Like it was so amazing. And you could feel that something was different and this energy that was there that contributed to you. Like it felt like it was so palpable to me. Like I even said to Tim when we came back, I was like, did you feel that in that one spot? Like I just could feel this amazing change in the energy. And to me, I didn't want to say what it was, but the river was close to that area and the river has pretty much been kept fairly natural and it's like a wild sort of a space. So to me, it was that wild space of nature and it was just amazing. I loved that. It was just so palpable to me. It was such a huge change in the energy because it was the area that hasn't sort of really been touched and it was wild. And it was just so beautiful. Like when we hit the river wasn't that far away from that. But yeah, that to me, that was the most amazing thing, that change of energy.
To me, Sylvia, El Lugar is one of those places like it just has this energetic presence. Like on our place at home, we've got, there's certain places on the property where you just know that they're special and you know that there's a certain energy on them. And what we've got to realize too is that the earth is a living, breathing organism again, and it's just like our body. Like there's parts on your body where you like to be touched and there's other parts on your body that is more energetic than other parts, and the earth is exactly like that. And we talk about I won't go down there today, but there's certain parts of the earth that receive energy into the planet and also push energy out of the planet into the universe. And basically El Lugar, I think, is one of those magical places where it seems to have a lot of natural energy and where it contributes to our bodies and the environment around it.
Yeah.
And they need to be nurtured, those places, and they're special places, and El Lugar is one of those, I think. And it basically, is it gone?
Yeah, no, we're still here. I can hear you.
Yep.
Well, and thank you for that, because there's that, what you say you've chosen on your land, even though when you were, you know, judged and criticized for what you were choosing, and now people are inspired and following the way. That's my sense of El Lugar. It's you know, a resort and construction has started, but construction and everything that's being done on the land is so different. You know, that second lot that you talked about that's, you know, bordered to the national forest there, it's like, it's an incredible land. It really is. So the target really is to invite people around the world to know that you can still build in communion with the earth, that there are alternative ways to have, you know, the air contribute for natural circulation and as well as the sewer system, as well as just doing business. It's such a different way of creating what's being done at El Lugar. And I do look forward to people visiting the website at lel-lugar.com. And also, where can people get a hold of you or see what you're doing and putting out in the world? What are you out creating?
So we just have like a Facebook page at the moment. I've got a few other things in the works, but our Facebook page is called The Earth Connection. So that's where they can find us, or they can contact us at theearthconnection@gmail.com.
Yeah. And I know you both have so much more to share. Like, for those people that are listening that would like to speak to Tanya and Tim, let's contact them. I mean, Tim, you can go, I know, into depth about science as well, about all the science, about what you've become aware of. And it's not usually where I go, so those aren't my questions. But if other people want to know more about that, please invite them to speak on your platform and to hear way more, and something different we can choose with our engagement and communion with the planet. So thank you both so much. It was such a pleasure. I get the pleasure of seeing you, but everybody has the pleasure of listening to you. So thank you for what you're choosing and contributing to This Is Our Earth. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Sylvia.
Thanks, Sylvia.
We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this show. My target is to inspire new actions and conversations that empower us all to know that we are the ones creating the future. If you'd like a way to contribute to our podcast, please leave a review wherever you listen. And for information about Alugar, visit l-lugar.com. Thank you.